أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى has brought us a narration, إخوانا بحديث. So we want to take this opportunity to discuss on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, who was from the ulama of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that he was amongst a group of the companions radiallahu anhu who were on an expedition, and their numbers were 30 people. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was the amir of the group because he was from the most knowledgeable ones from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In their journey, they came upon a group of Arabs from the desert. Being that they were strangers and they were wayfarers, they asked those Arabs who were kuffar to give them some hospitality. The Arabs refused to give them any hospitality, and they told the companions, radiallahu anhum, be on your way and get out of here. So the companions, radiallahu anhum, continued on their journey, and they camped out a distance away from where those Arabs were. Allah Ta'ala decreed that He sent a scorpion or a snake, and the scorpion either stung their leader or the snake bit their leader and he poisoned them. While the leader was in that state and he was about to die, his people were going all around trying to find a cure for their leader, and nothing helped. One of them came up with a brilliant idea. Why don't you people go to those group of people who came and asked us for some hospitality? Since they're coming from another part of the Arab land, maybe they have some herbs, maybe they have some medication that we don't know of in our land. Go ask them. And before we go on, Ikhwan, we want to make this point, and that is, this is a clear indication for the Muslim who chooses to deal with people with double standards. Those of us who treat some people bad, you don't know, Ya Abdullah, that one day Allah Ta'ala is going to change your condition. And that person who you looked at as being insignificant and you used to treat him disrespectfully, it may be that tomorrow the one who changes the night into the day and the day into the night, the one who guides one who was Kafir yesterday into Islam today, the one who allows a man to go to sleep tonight as a Muslim and wake up as a Kafir, he just may put that person who you treat disrespectfully in a position where you need him. And then when you need him, he may do what Abu Sa'id did to these people, he may do that to you. So what we're trying to get you to understand is, as the Prophet says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُؤْمِنُونَ تَتَكَافَأُ بِنَاءُهُمْ, the believers, all of their blood is equal. I have yet to have an experience with any of the people in our Jama'at that was negative. Someone disrespected me, someone oppressed me. I see love and respect. But I see how people deal with other people. Why is it that Abu Usama and Abu Usama's children, they're treated another way? And there are other people in our Jama'at who we treat who may have more taqwa than Abu Usama. He may be more deserving of that respect, honor, and love from you than Abu Usama. He may be close to Allah Ta'ala more than Abu Usama. So let us not be like the people who are into the hype, because we've been listening to hip-hop and we've been into these movies, so we treat people accordingly because that's where our mentality is. Allah Ta'ala decreed that their leader got bit by the scorpion, stung by the scorpion, or bit by the snake. They went to the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and explained, our leader has been stung or bitten and he's poisoned. Do you have anything that you can help us with? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu say, yes, I can make the ruqya over him. But I'm not going to make the ruqya read the Quran over him until you give me something as compensation because of what you dealt us. You're wayfarer, and you're from the Arabs, and you know from our culture is Adam and the way he's a traveler, Adam and the guest, even as kuffar, this is our way, and you dealt with us. Where did Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu get that fiqh and that understanding? That's the understanding of this deen. There are too many ayat of the Kitab of Allah Ta'ala that shows us that we deal with people the way they deal with us. And this concept of Christianity, turn the other cheek. When he takes your pants, give him your shirt. When he takes your land, give him your ocean. This is a foreign concept to our religion. قال الله تبارك وتعالى فإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به. If you people choose to punish your enemies, then punish them the same way that they punished you. Don't go overboard. If you punish them the way they dealt with you, that's the way you deal with them. We don't have this concept of always being passive, letting people oppress us. So let us remember that when we deal with the people. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, I'll do it, but under one condition, that you give us 30 sheep for each man in our jama'ah. They agreed. When they went back to this leader, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, read Surah al-Fatiha 7 times. And then after reading it the 7th time, after each time reading the surah, he would spit on the man by going, pff, pff, pff. They said, after the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, the man stood up and started to move around as if he was free from shackles and chains. The Quran and the power of the Quran by Allah Ta'ala's permission and ability and His might. When the man or the woman reads the Quran, after the Quran comes out of your mouth has power. The malaika of Allah Ta'ala, when one of us begins to read the Quran, they come and they put their mouth to your mouth and they take the Quran inside of their body. The man stood up and he started to move around. After that, the Arabs who were kuffar, they lived up to their obligation. They lived up to their contract. They gave Abu Sa'id and his companions, radiallahu anhum, 30 sheep, gave them some milk and fed them and sent them along their way. Abu Sa'id and his companions, radiallahu anhum, they started to discuss the issue and they said, let us split up our money. Each man takes his sheep. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhum said, no. Not until we go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we ask him about what we did. Up until that point, ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach the companion about ruqyah. They didn't have any knowledge that you can read the Quran on someone to make him well by Allah's permission. So let us, before doing anything in this money, let us get the haq from the scholar. When they got to the Medina, they asked the Prophet Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what we did. Is it alright what we did? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةُ اِقْسِمُوا وَضْرِبُوا لِي مَعَكُمْ سَهْمًا فَدَّهِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, how did you know that the Quran could be used from the ruqyah? How did you know that? What you did was correct, but how did you know that? So therefore, distribute what you got, those 30 sheep, with your companions, and give me a portion of it as well. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, after the Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he smiled. So he did three things to show us that he allowed that action. He said to him, what would allow you? How did you know that this is the haq? He smiled by giving his confirmation that this was good. And he also took from part of what they distributed amongst themselves. From this tremendous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this incident that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, there are a few tremendous issues we need to consider. We need to consider the first issue, which is, the incident shows us, ikhwan, how the companions considered the Quran in their heart. What level did they look at the Quran in their heart in their daily lives? The Quran did not have this small or this low.
insignificant position in their heart. Where do we get that understanding? They come to the companion and ask, we have a man who is down. He has fallen ill. We need some medication. Why didn't Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, being from Medina, go to look for one of the herbs that they must have had with them as precautions in the trip, just like we carry Band-Aids and peroxide? Why didn't Abu Sa'id al-Khudri come with some kind of drink or medicine that the Arabs of Medina knew about? Why did his fiqh say, I'm going to use the Quran? You ask a man, look, I'm sick, give me some medication. The last thing that had come to one of our minds, if we never heard about this, was or is the Quran. So it shows how important and significant how they look at the Quran and the power and the might of the Quran, which is the speech of Allah Ta'ala that we can talk on the earth. Not only the Quran in general, but specifically Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri Akhwan could have read from any of the 114 surah of the Quran, but he chose Surah Al-Fatiha, the mother of the book, in Sahih Bukhari. Another companion by the waqf or the kunya of Abu Sa'id. His kunya is Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla radiyallahu anhu. Qala kuntu usalli فنداني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم أجبه لما انتهيت من صلاتي قلت يا رسول الله إني كنت أصلي فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ألم يقول الله تبارك وتعالى استجيبوا لله والرسول إذا دعاكم ألا أعلمك أعظم سورة في كتاب الله قال نعم يا رسول الله ثم انشغل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أراد أن يخرج من المسجد قال له أبو سعيد المعلى يا رسول الله قلت ألا أعلمك أعظم سورة في كتاب الله فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين هي السبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم الذي أوتيته. The Prophet came to his masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to find Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla praying. While he was praying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out to him, come here Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla, come here. He continued to make his salat sincerely to Allah Ta'ala, giving Allah his rights, and he didn't answer the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he finished and he was caught and stuck between a rock and a hard place, what do I do? Do I continue to pray to the Lord of the world, or do I go to the messenger of the Lord of the world? He made ijtihad, and he made an attempt. He continued to pray. When he came to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying. The Prophet told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't Allah say in the Quran, oh you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His messenger whenever they call you. You're to obey me unconditionally. If I told you to come now, come now. If I told you to sit over there and stay over there. Unconditionally. I am the messenger of the Lord of all the worlds, and He's given me that right. Then the Prophet said to him in teaching him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, should I not teach you the greatest surah of the Quran? The greatest surah of the Quran, should I not teach you? He said, yes, teach me. The Prophet became busy in the masjid with the affairs of the Muslims. After he wanted to leave the masjid, Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla could have left him to go out of the masjid, but he was a man who was harith. He wanted to know the knowledge. There's some information. I'm about to find out the greatest surah of the Quran. Ya Rasulullah, you remember when you said such and such and such a thing? You're going to teach me the greatest surah? The Prophet said, yes. The greatest surah of the Quran is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It is the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an that I've been given. So this is why Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu read from this surah. From this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Ikhwan, we understand another very important reason. That Allah Ta'ala revealed the Qur'an. If we were to read the Qur'an, Allah has not left us a group of people wandering around what to do and how to do it. I come down Germantown and we pass one of the churches. and the kuffar are about to bury one of their dead, and they don't have a clue about what Isa ibn Maryam used to do. And if you were to ask them, what are you doing? They don't answer with something intelligent. There's no connection to their religion that they claim. And some of them are high, and after this they're going to get high, and the one who's being buried is waiting for a punishment. Whereas us, you yawn, you know what to do. Wallahi, ikhwan, we are in a ni'mah that is azimah. So Allah, teaching us these small things about our everyday life, clearly He's not going to keep us in the dark as to why He revealed the Quran. The scholars of Islam, like Imam Al-Waqidi, has given us from the Quran and the Sunnah over 150 reasons why Allah said He revealed the Quran. As Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet to say in the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. Verily this Quran has been revealed to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that I can warn you and whoever else it reaches, from the jinn and the kuffar. So when the man is given the da'wah to kuffar, it is okay for him to say to the one who doesn't believe in the Quran, Allah said in the Quran, if you continue to do this, you're going to go to the hellfire. He doesn't believe in it, but still the Quran was revealed to warn him, to warn you and whoever the Quran reaches. That's the reason why the Quran was revealed. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam wa yubashir al-mu'mineen. Verily this Quran guides to that which is best, that which is perfect, and it does what? It gives glad tidings to those people who are believers. So the Quran has been revealed for the guidance. In this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, we get an understanding of why the Quran was revealed. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Quran, and it supports what happened with that man who was a disbeliever. Allah Ta'ala said, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily we have sent the Quran down as a shifa, as a healer and a mercy for the believer. The Quran will heal you, Ya Abdullah. Now we are in the month of November, and the cold is knocking on our doors and our windows. Some of us, and most of us, are from the fuqara. We are trying to save money with the heat, gas, electric. Some of us live in places where they are broken down and dilapidated, and the cold is a companion in our home. Before your child gets sick, or when your child gets sick, as many of our children are sick, some of them can't come to Jummah today because they're sick. We don't want to bring our other children to Jummah because the child who's here may infect him by Allah's permission. Before your wife goes to cook some chicken noodle soup, before you buy some Tylenol, take the book of Allah Ta'ala and read the Ruqya over your child with the Quran. By the Lord of the Kaaba, the possessor of the magnificent throne, with Iman, Ya Abdullah, you believing in that, Allah Ta'ala will protect, and Allah Ta'ala will cure your child, and then you save money. Those of us who don't have insurance at our job, those of us who don't have the ability to go and pay cash for having our children seen, having ourselves seen, read the Quran over yourself. But it takes what? It takes some serious Iman. How is a man going to be disconnected Islamically, and then he thinks when he gets sick, Allah is going to be there for him? No, if you're wrong and you're dirty, when it's time to knock on the door, Allah Ta'ala doesn't open the door. He doesn't send any help to you. So it's conditional. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. Remember Allah, Allah Ta'ala will remember you. So from the reasons that the Quran has been revealed and sent down is that it is a healer for the believers. It is a way to heal yourself. Look at our behavior with the Quran. The Quran has not been revealed, ikhwan, so as to adorn the masajid and the walls of the masajid. The Quran has not been sent down so as to be burnt and drunk looking for a cure. The Quran has not been sent down as we hear some of the famous reciters, especially out of Egypt and Syria, the way they make talheen and they play with the Quran. After each ayat is read, the audience says, Allah! Allah! Playing with the book of Allah. The Quran has not been revealed so that a man calls his child Al-Quran. A man accepts Islam, he calls himself Al-Quran, and then he's out on a block slinging drugs. Or he's a person who's married and he's a terrible husband. So the sister says, I hate Al-Quran. Quran is a fasiq. Quran is a kafir. The Quran has not been revealed so that you can name yourself by it or by the ayat of the Quran, except those surah and those ayat that Allah Ta'ala's Prophet has allowed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Yusuf and Ibrahim. As for Yasin, Taha, this is not why Allah Ta'ala has revealed the Quran. From this tremendous hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, ikhwan, pay attention to this, because all of us are fuqara. All of us are masakin. We are some poor people, but we're rich with Al-Islam. But as far as money is concerned, individually we don't have a lot of money. Walhamdulillah. This is a concept that you got to remember right here. This hadith shows us that the arzaq, what Allah has decreed for you to have, is going to come to you, Abdullah, and ain't no way it's going to miss you. Allah will take out of the pockets of people and give it to you. Those companions came to the kuffar seeking some hospitality. The kuffar said, no, go on your way. We're not giving you anything. Allah Ta'ala sent one of his soldiers from his many soldiers. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جَنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows the armies of your Lord except him. Allah sent one of his soldiers, a snake, to slither to that man and bit him and poisoned him. Allah said, boom, give up the money. Allah sent the scorpion to sting the man. Give up the money. The man was forced to send his people. Go get those people and bring them back. When the companions came back, all right, we'll hook you up, but what you have to do is give us 30 sheep, one for each man. It could have been easy, Abdullah, for the companions to come, ask for hospitality. Those people could have took one sheep, gave the companions some milk, slaughtered the sheep, and sent the companions on their way. That would have been enough, and they would have done what they were responsible for. But when they didn't do what was righteous and what was in taqwa, Allah Ta'ala took from them more money. So Allah Ta'ala already wrote for the companions their arzaq. Don't you remember, Ya Abdullah, in the Quran about Fir'aun, the enemy of Islam and the enemy of Allah and what is right and correct and exact, how he used to do with Bani Israel? We can't imagine the fitna of Fir'aun that he was for Bani Israel. As Allah told us in the Quran, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Remember Bani Israel. Remember followers of Musa. How Fir'aun and his people used to be a trial for you. How they used to deal with you. They used to take your sons and they will slaughter them. They will come to your house after having a new baby. Here we're talking about, I need some money to get an aqiqah. I need a book to read about the good names. I can't decide, am I going to name my child Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Al-Harith, Hammam? Or should I name him by one of the names of the prophets or one of the names of the companions? That's what we're dealing with. Those people from Bani Israel had to worry about their son getting snatched up from under them and slaughtered. The mother carries the child for 9 months and then they come and slaughter the baby. And Allah used to allow Bani Israel, under the oppression of that beast Fir'aun, to take their women folk and keep them alive. Keep them alive for what? Your daughter is 3. If Fir'aun wanted to do what he wanted to do, he would come and get your daughter and he would exact on her that what I can't say right here. Your 13-year-old daughter, your wife, he would come and just snatch him up whenever he wanted and dare you to do something. That's a fitna. that Fir'aun was slaughtering the child, the men of Bani Israel, because he was waiting for Musa. He wanted to get rid of Musa. Look how Allah Ta'ala told the mother of Musa, put this child in the stream, in the Nile River, which is one of the rivers of paradise. It's in the dunya and it's in paradise. How? Allah Ta'ala is able with everything. In the Nile River, Abdullah, there are alligators. In the Nile River, there are hippopotamuses. In the Nile River, there are anacondas today, moccasins. Put the wali from the awliya of Allah in the river and don't worry. And the basket or whatever it was goes down the Nile River to land in the very backyard of the man who's trying to destroy him. Is that enough? Look, the qadr of Allah has to happen. He grows up eating the food of Fir'aun under his nose, and then finally he destroys the man. Because Allah, the rizq is coming to you. So with that being the case, I have to ask my brothers in this area, in this environment, some of us who want to be criminals, some of us who want to cut corners and give bad names to our dawah, bad names to the other Muslims who have a lot of shubahat because of our behavior, because they just don't understand, because of how this dawah took over the masjid, whatever, and we're going to try to change that. Isn't it enough that the deck is stacked against us already? Now how are you going to be out in the street doing a haram out in the open talking about the dawah to Salafiyya? Ya akhi ya arzaq is going to come to you. Hey, am I saying don't play games with the oppression of this bestial system that these people put on us? No. Cut the corners when you don't put yourself in a trial and a fitna. Cut the corners when you don't usurp the rights of other people. You want some money under the table? Am I telling you to file taxes with them kuffar? That ain't what I'm saying. But you out there flagrantly slinging drugs. How? That dawah to the kuffar. Your arzaq, they're going to come to you, Abdullah. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by an Imam al-Tirmidhi. Hear this hadith, ikhwan. Make it a part of who you are. Come to me after the salat and say, Yahi, write that hadith for me. I want to put it in my wallet. I want to wake up, inshallah, in the morning. During the course of the day, I want to look at that hadith and get reminded so that I can put in perspective this dunya. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع الله شمله وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة ومن كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأتيه من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. Listen to this hadith, ya Abdullah. Whoever's desire is the hereafter, whoever is living in this life and his desire, goal, objective is the akhirah, you're going to see in his behavior. He's going to pray, he's going to be honest, he's going to be a person who is respectful, a person who does what Allah tells him to do and stay away from what Allah told him to stay away from. He's not going to cut corners. Whoever's desire is the akhirah, Allah will put his riches in his heart. He'll be satisfied with his condition. Does that mean that he's making $7.50 an hour and he says, I'm satisfied because the akhirah? No. He wants to get independent. He wants to be independent in his thought. He wants to get independence in his economics. He wants to get an infrastructure for his community to be a person who is free of the kuffar. But he says, but $7.50 is enough for me where I don't have to go and do the haram. So Allah's Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will put his riches in his heart and Allah will bring together for him his affairs. When he goes to get married, boom, he gets his soulmate. When he buys a car, he pays $1,000, boom, it never breaks down. 3,000 miles he has to take care of it, that's it. Everywhere he turns, Allah gives him the tawfiq. and the dunya will come to him in spite of herself. And then on the flip side, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever's desire is the dunya. Whoever wants to get the dunya, how? He doesn't make salah, he's lackadaisical. He doesn't make halal, halal, and haram, haram. He wants to get the woman and have relationships on Friday and Saturday night with the woman, and he wants to have relationships and get up. What's on your mind? You need to get a grip. How? Whoever his dunya is what he's really after, Allah said, Allah will put his poverty right between his eyes. When he goes to make an investment, it fails. When he goes to get married, he gets a shaytana. Whenever he makes a decision, he has a problem. He will have his poverty put between his eyes, and Allah will scatter for him his affairs. And nothing is going to come to him except what has been decreed for him. Ya akhi, this hadith puts in perspective for the Muslim how he looks at the dunya. It's not all about that, ikhwan, this glitter and the way we are. If you have money and you can do the nice things, mashallah, you need money to get money, inshallah. Spending money brings more money. Those are concepts supported by the economics of the deen al-haq. But akhi, don't be of these people. Ralph Lauren has made a peacoat. Because he puts a patch on it, we say, wow, look at that coat. I'm going to pay $350 for that coat. Ya Abu Salman, where you get that coat from? Ya akhi, wallahi, I didn't know what that was. It was a gift to me. Not until I came here, using it in the winter, people are saying, wow, man, how you throwing that coat on the floor like that? $300, I told him I'd give it to you for $120. If it's $380, I'll give it to you for $120, because it don't mean nothing to me, not like that. Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hill. Bunch of devils putting their name on something, and because of our mentality, we're going to spend all that money, and I'm not paying alimony to my wife, to my kid. Hey, China. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the tawfiq in what we understand, to make us independent and Islamic in the way we understand, the way we practice Islam. Stop listening to those hip hoppers. It's magic, Ya Abdullah. The music. I'm from where you from, I'm cut from the same cloth. The beat, yes, it gets into your soul. No one's got that art. It can affect you. But those people are enemies to us. They're enemies to righteousness. They'll have you thinking it's all about Rolexes. It's all about sports utility vehicles. It's all about platinum chains and necklaces and rings. And our community is in shackles. And your family need economics. Come on, man. May Allah Ta'ala help us all. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa nas'al Allah Ta'ala at-tawfiq wa sabat. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على من لا نبي بعده وهو أرسل رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إخوان, this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه is a hadith of our minhaj, the minhaj al-Salafi, the minhaj al-Sunni. And when I say the minhaj al-Salafi, إخوان, maybe some of you this word, this name is a problem. Wallahi, I don't stand on this minbar and I say to you that the usage of this word guarantees anybody paradise. I don't say that. But clearly we invite those people who, for whatever reason, you have a problem understanding how it is obligatory for all of us, whether we use that word or we don't use that word. It is absolutely mandatory and wajib for us to take the Islam of the companions, the understanding of the companions. And look at this as an example, this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Look at one of the athars. Look at one of the examples that they left for us. One of the proofs of how we're supposed to be. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu was the Amir of the trip. He made ijtihad as a scholar. An ijtihad when there was no text. An issue came to him that he didn't know any dalil for. He didn't know an ayah from the Quran. He didn't know a sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he made ijtihad, which goes to show this is a great refutation on those people who are telling us when we come into Islam after having the wool over our eyes with that racism, whether it was black nationalism, loving Fir'aun in Egypt, or the racism of Christianity. We come into Al-Islam after being blind followers, and we want to see the proofs. We want to know where does that come from. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri didn't know any dalil for the ruqya, but he made ijtihad. It shows that we understand that the bab of ijtihad will be open until Yawm al-Qiyamah. But ijtihad is for who? Is it for Abu Usama, the imam in this masjid, or any imam in the city? Ijtihad is for the scholars of Al-Islam. Ijtihad is for the scholars of Islam. We go to them, and then they, when not having a text, they make the ijtihad. This concept of being in a military camp of these madhabs and being a blind follower, turn right, turn left. If three hairs fall off, you have to slaughter. If you do this, say your niyat, don't ask questions. Be a robot, be an idiot, just be a person with a ring in his nose. Let the man pull you around wherever you want to go. If he's going to pull you into the over the cliff, just jump and say tawakkal to Allah. This is foreign to Al-Islam. The scholar can make ijtihad. So how is this a minhaj issue? It's a minhaj issue in that when the people got the 30 sheep, they decided, let us split the sheep up. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, no, I made my decision based on ijtihad. I don't know any ayat, I don't know any hadith, so therefore what we have to do is go back to Medina to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his 29 member traveling party said, let's split it up, let's dig into the money now, let's cook it. He said, no, there's no delil for what I did that I know of. Let's go back to the Prophet. Let's go back to Medina. Look at the application of the statement of Allah Ta'ala. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you people differ in anything, turn it back to Allah and His Messenger. So during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and his companions, they go right to the Prophet and say, Ya Rasulullah, this is what's happening, this is what happened, what's the deal? While he was there, he'll explain. What do we do? Do we go to his grave in Medina, make dua to Allah to tell him so he can tell us that? Go to the Sufi sheikh to tell us sheikh this, that? No, we go to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the adab of ikhtilaf between Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and his companions. Did they say, well, I'm this old, I'm this big, I'm from Quraysh, I'm from the Ansar, I'm from the Muhajirin, I'm the Amir, I'm this, I'm that? No, you don't see any argument, you don't see any hatred, you don't see people cutting each other off. Look at how in this hadith, they obey the Amir. You know it's not easy, Abdullah, taking 30 sheep, traveling from one point to another point. It's not easy. That's an added problem for them in their trip. All of those are from the what? They're from the examples of what we learn from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How to respect leadership, how to obey leadership, how to have ikhtilaf amongst ourselves, how to act. The last thing that we want to mention that we understand from this hadith is that the hadith clearly shows, ikhwan, that it is permissible in our religion for a person to take monetary gain from the book of Allah. The Prophet told us in authentic Sahih hadith that's in Sahih Bukhari on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, inna ahaqqa ma akhadhtum alayhi ajra kitabullah. Verily, the one thing that you have more right to take money for and to be paid for is the book of Allah. If a man is teaching the people how to read the Quran, he has a right to get paid. If anyone has a right to get paid in this dunya, he has a right to get paid. Verily, the thing that has more right than anything else to take money for it, the book of Allah. But of course, with condition. The teacher of the Quran shouldn't make money his main motivation, his main goal. The man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry him to a woman. He asked the man, وَمَاذَا مَعَكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. What do you memorize from the Quran? He said, حَفِظْتُ سُورَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. The Prophet told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُزَوِّجُكَ إِيَّاهَا عَلَى مَا حَفِظْتَ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. I marry you to this woman based upon what you know from the Quran, teach it. And you all know in marriage, the dowry usually is money. So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made the Quran in the place of money as if he was giving the man money. Clear proof how the person can take money for the Quran. How are we going to address people whose understanding is so crazy? They come to us and say, Ya Akhi, you're selling books? Don't hide the knowledge like the Jews and the Christians. Give the book for free. Give the book for free. Don't hide the knowledge. You shouldn't sell like the Jews and the Christians did. Those people who sold the ayat of Allah for a miserable price. This is not the meaning of that. Ikhwan, there's another thing that I want to mention. And that is, some of us are in positions where we come into possession of things that may be halal and it may be haram. What are we to do? The companions came into possession of the 30 sheep. They didn't know. Maybe halal, maybe haram. What did they do? They didn't leave the sheep there and then go to Medina and then find out and come back to get the sheep. They took that money with them. They said, we're not going to use the money, but we're going to take it with us and find out what to do. The Prophet will tell us we got to bring it back. He'll tell us to give it in sadaqah. He'll tell us we can use it. But look at the fiqh of the fuqaha of the sahaba. We don't have this fatalistic throw all caution to the wind in the sand. Not in marriage. You married the girl in 2 days. Tawakkal Allah. The sister married the brother and he's been incarcerated for 15 years. She married him after 1 day. Sister, you better take your time and see if that man has the mind of an incarcerated man. He may need to be detoxed, and we're willing and ready, inshallah, by the book of Allah and the sunnah to help him get detoxed, as many of us have been detoxed or continue to be detoxed. There's no problem. How are you going to throw caution to the wind? Take your baby and put him in a kufar school? Tawakkal Allah. See what's going to happen. You might as well take the dice, y'all, and just see what you're going to get. A 7-Eleven? You're going to get CeeLo? What you going to do? Not like that, y'all, Abdullah. A person may inherit something like stocks and bonds. And we're fuqara. Hypothetically. A person may work in a hotel. He goes into the room and he's cleaning the hotel and he finds $3,000. His taqwa says, leave it there. And the owner gonna come back? Maybe the owner won't come back and the next man come back and he gets paid. Take the money, akhi, then ask later. Take the money and then ask later and find out later. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. But this fatalistic approach to our affairs, this is not from Al-Islam. And when we partake in it, and we get the evil consequences and retribution from what we do, لا تلومون إلا نفسكم لا تلومون إلا أنفسكم. Then don't blame anyone except your own selves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who are aqwiya, who are strong in our Islam and our Iman. Those people who practice Islam, the truth is beloved to them more than their own selves and their children. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تبارك وتعالى التوفيق والسداد. أقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Concerning the khutbah today, Ikhwan, we just like to make mention of another very important point, and that is, how do you make the ruqya? What are the turuq or the subal that it is permissible to make the ruqya? How? You make the ruqya in 3 ways, inshallah. If someone has been afflicted with a disease or a cut or a sickness, there are 3 ways that Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to teach us how to make the ruqya. The first way is, as the hadith today suggested, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Al-Mukharraj fi Sahih al-Bukhari,
that the person takes an ayat or a surah of the Quran and he reads that Quran or that surah over the sick person. Surah Al-Fatiha, ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, ayat Al-Kursi, anywhere from the book of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, you take some ayat and you read it over the sick person or you read it over yourself, and then after that you spit on the person or the area that has been afflicted. The second way that you can make the ruqya is with the ad'iyah al-ma'thura, those du'a that the Prophet taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like how he used to make al-isti'adha for his grandsons al-Hasan wa Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take them and used to say, u'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi at-tamma min kulli aynin wa lamma wa min kulli shaytanin ham wa ham. I seek refuge for you two in the perfect words of Allah. He would take his boys and he say, I seek refuge in you two, for you two in the perfect words of Allah, from every evil eye and from every shaitan and from every dangerous poisonous rodent, rats, mice, all of that stuff. So all of those ad'iyah that you say or that has been left for us, you can do that. You go to the hospital, you go to the sick person, there are du'as that you can say that the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever makes this du'a and death has not been written for that person, if you say this du'a over them, Allah is going to cure that person. And there are three or four, a few du'a like that. A person may say, yeah, but I know of sick people like your daughter. I'm sure you made du'a. Your daughter is still in that condition. Yeah, but that's not to say that Allah Ta'ala is not going to cure her, no matter what the disease is. It can be a terminal disease. If you go and you visit that person, you make that du'a, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if death wasn't written for that person, they're going to become cured. So don't be like the farmer. What do you brothers think about this farmer? He's a farmer. He's a sharecropper, like some of our mothers and fathers and grandmothers and fathers used to be. It was a step below slavery. You worked the land, and the owner of the land just gave you a place to live and something to eat, and he came at the end of the harvest and took all of the food. What do you think about this farmer or this fallah? He goes out and he plants his vegetation. He comes out after a day or two or three or a week, and he doesn't see any produce coming forth. So he says, oh, nothing is growing. I'm not going to water it anymore. I'm not going to do anything else because none of the fruit are coming out. I'm going to go and get in another business. I'm just not going to do anything. Clearly that person is Rabi. He's Safih from the Sufaha. Sooner or later, if you continue to plant, you continue to pour the seed, and you continue and you continue, sooner or later, inshallah, it's going to come out. So the Prophet taught us what? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يدعو أحدكم بدعاء ثم يقول لقد دعوت ودعوت ودعوت فلم يستجب الله لي. Don't let one of you make dua and then he says, I've made dua and I made dua and I made dua and Allah hasn't answered my call, and then he leaves off the dua. He's like that idiot farmer who plants his seed and he's going to insist when the seed should come out. No, no one is going to do like that. So you take those ad'iyah or those du'as of the sunnah, and you can make a ruqya with those du'as. The last kind of ruqya that can be made is the ruqya in which a person uses his own words in his own language. English, Persian, Japanese, Chinese, whatever his language is. With sincerity, he goes to the sick person and he asks Allah by his own language with sincerity, oh Allah, cure this individual, help this individual, whatever, with his own words. As long as his words don't go against the Quran and the Sunnah. Why? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden you beyond your ability. You don't know those dua, you're ajami, you're non-Arab, your tongue is not Arabic. How are you going to learn those dua? It's difficult. So that means you can't make the ruqya because you don't know the Quran, you don't know the dua that the Prophet taught us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La wallahi, our Allah is arham than that. And our Lord is
A'fa
than that. And our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is azhal in his mu'amala with the individual. So those are the three turuq that the person can make the ruqya in order to take off of himself what has befallen him or the other person. The other thing that we want to mention to you, Ikhwan, is another practical solution to solving our problems. Today is Yom al-Jum'ah. This is our day. Most of us are going to go outside and we're going to squander the opportunity. We're going to get involved with qila wa qal and a bunch of kalam farigh, because that's our nature. So we have to continue to struggle to get some discipline. We have a golden opportunity now to make some dua between the Asr and the Maghrib time. One of the times that some of the scholars consider to be the dua, or the time that the dua is accepted. You should put your iron in the fire and make an attempt, inshallah. The other thing about this day, Yom Jum'ah, our day, is if you want to practically solve your problem, this is an opportunity to get some light to proceed you for the upcoming week if Allah Ta'ala gives us light. So, or life. All you have to do is sit in the masjid and you are still in the salah, get the Quran and read Surah Al-Kahf. Those of you who know how to read, read Surah Al-Kahf. Give precedence over the Quran. Give precedence to the Quran over the kalam farigh that we're going to have outside, or that we're going to have in Salam's restaurant, or that we're going to have wherever we're going now. So it's a golden opportunity. And these are the months of opportunity. These are the days of opportunity. Winter days. They're short. And the night is long. As the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you should take advantage of these days of opportunity by fasting. You fast a short time, you can get some rest, wake up in the middle of the night, or wake up in the last third of the night, well rested, and you can make the salah. So many of us are not doing that, but there are other options and other ways that we can do this. Like reading Surah Al-Kahf today. The last thing, Ikhwan, and this is very important, is that we have one of our brothers. His mother came to Islam today, alhamdulillah. She accepted and embraced Islam today. So we encourage those sisters who may be still here and they're listening to give the sister her rights, in that if she needs some clothes, we take her immediately to the shop, get her some clothes. We take the time out to sit up to the side to let her know about the teachings and the tenets, the dictates of this religion, the most important of which is the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, and the fact that she has to start to make salah. The point is that we do whatever we can do to give the sister her rights, inshallah. And we thank Allah Ta'ala for guiding the sister to Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.